This week on RSBNB Update, we talk double XP weekend prep, going over the ninja fixes for the week, a talk on wealth transfers between OSRS and RS3, and Tycho's own special RuneFest teddy bear. This is RSBNB Update, episode 686, recorded Thursday, August 30th, 2018, the RuneFest teddy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update. You guys are probably gaining XP on Double XP Weekend, or if you're not, you're probably listening to us live at twitch.tv/RSBNB, but nonetheless, good to have you here. Welcome back, Tanis.
Thank you, Shane.
And also joining us this week is Tycho from Clan Quest. Welcome, Tycho. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane. Oh, I've been away for so long. You have no idea how much I really wanted to be on the show. Oh, my comeback.
And I'll be seeing you next month.
Oh, yeah. RuneFest. It's getting closer.
He can bring you all your mail, man. It's just been stacking up
Oh, my fan mail. Oh, I have no idea. You have no idea. When Postgres were dealing out all those fan mails all over RuneScape, you have no idea. I was drowning in that tsunami of fan mails. Oh, I better bring an extra bag to London.
All right. So this is RSBNB Update. It's a quiet week. Crickets.
It's a very quiet week.
Crickets. Yeah. Crickets. Crickets.
And we have patches.
We do have patches.
We have some patches, and we have this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's what the main focus is going to be here. But we do have some hard hitting discussion questions as well that we'll get to after as well. Yeah, so
that's a good one.
Yeah, so we'll just have to wait and see how that turns out. We also got some good tech news, and I think Tanis has a new pick of the week that he wants to share. It should be fun.
Yeah, what's that, Tanis?
We'll save it. We'll save it for after, won't we?
Oh, I can't.
Yeah.
No. All right. So this week in RuneScape, you're probably wondering, okay, these guys are here. They're just going to socialize with each other for an hour and a bit, right? Well, this week they have the announcement that, it's Double XP Weekend, of course, though we've known that for a while, but also Balthazar's Big Raffle is returning on September 1st and running until October 5th, and this year it's got pretty much all the same prizes as before, except this time they're adding in Golden Chaotix, so they're taking the tier up to tier 80 from tier 70 with the Barrow's Armor, so every Sunday you'll have your chance at winning a Golden Chaotix. Rapier, longsword, claws, spear, staff, and crossbow, and they've even included the offhand variants in this. So,
Wow.
Other things are golden barrow sets, death touch darts, golden war priest, protein packs, deposit boxes, and golden god swords. I want a golden Bandos god sword last time. I'd like to win another one of those, or maybe even just a golden barrow set just to use it as a cosmetic override for armor, I think, because, I mean, let's be real here. Barrow's armor today, unless you're leveling up, is not something you're going to wear. Sadly.
Yeah, no. I mean, all of the golden stuff is for, you know, you keep sick that.
Yeah, it's for
fashion scape.
Yeah, I'd love to get either a chaotic or a god sword to go with. I actually ended up with two sets. I got Armadil and Ceridomin last time, so.
Oh, good. Wow.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have something to match, you know, with that.
Yeah. I won a lot last year. I mean, my favorite is clearly the Death Touch darts. And this was before the merchant at the Deep Sea Fishing Hub turned up. But I won 9 of them last
time. Oh, wow.
And, yeah, 9. 999. Anyways, and I used 5 of them. 5 of them. On the one man you cannot kill, Nomad. It was personal. I just enjoyed using everything.
Using that for Dominion Tower, then?
No. Hard mode Nomad after Nomad's Elegy.
Okay.
You can beat him once a week.
All right,
so
right.
5 weeks in a row, I just beat the crap out of him.
Do you still do that?
No, he's a bit far for me to beat normally, and I got so annoyed, so yeah.
All right, fair enough. I don't know what I would go for in this. Probably just a Golden Barrow set. But also, for each ticket you enter, even if you're unsuccessful, you will receive a medium lamp as the consolation prize. So, I mean, there is something. And, I mean, I guess it's a way to get people to log in if they're not, and, you know, just have a chance at winning something. So I don't think there's much to complain about with this.
I will have to do the math on that, Shane. That's 30 medium lamps.
Yep.
If you were to log in every day.
Yeah.
Seems like it'd be a pretty good chunk.
Yeah, it would. And you just got to decide if you're actually going to, you know, concentrate them around a specific thing.
Mm-hmm. I think the real winner this year, if you're not going for armor or weapons, will be the two portable deposit boxes, because there's this strange rumor going around that Jagex is apparently having 120 summoning as an idea.
Yeah, we talked about that on the survey a couple weeks ago, and I mean, it's hard to say, really. It's hard to say. I don't know.
And those deposit boxes are very useful for summoning, and bringing a pack yak makes it so much more efficient. So I think that's the real winner this year.
All right.
The thing you want for.
Also, of course, double XP weekend. But I think in addition to that, we should just talk about the patch notes now. I think that's the next logical step here for this week, because there are just so many of them. There are just so many of them. So many patches this week focusing in around combat. So first off, starting up, dormant anima core drops have been removed from broadcast. And, you know, anyone who does PVM knows that those are kind of a troll announcement. So
It was fun while it lasted. Oh, I just loved saying crats to those.
I know, not the greatest. You just know it just irks people. They're like,
urgh. Yeah, and then they remove you from their friends list.
I don't know why anyone would do that.
Friendship, Shane. Oh, friendship.
No one's done that to me, though.
Oh.
And I don't think I'd do that to anyone. But anyways, continuing on, Abomination Cape drops are now broadcast to the current world. That could get people going, because that's, of course, what you fight after killing the V boss. I don't know. I never actually went back to fight it.
They're worth good money.
Yeah, they are. Tycho, did you ever go fight that?
Oh, yeah, many times. I don't know how much it is, if it's 200 mil, I think, that cape is worth. The strength bonus of that is insane, and it's stupidly rare. And the boss, it always hits, like 100%. And if you have more health, it hits harder, so you have to have as low health as possible. So Void Armor is recommended for that, but I never got it.
All
and
right.
it was recently even got a kill counter. I mean, so you could fight it and never prove that you have been doing PVM for a very long time.
Okay. They added the monster name to the champion scroll broadcast. So the example given is that Maude Meadows has received a champion scroll goblin.
Fair.
Cool. The reprisal ability can now be manually triggered again after using it to return the damage to your opponent earlier. I've never used reprisal, so I'm not entirely sure what this is about.
Yeah, I know about that. It's an ability that it's very rare from Telos.
Okay.
And if you activate it, it's a threshold, by the way, for 6 seconds, all damage you get are stored. And when the 6 second ends, all that damage is returned to your opponent.
Oh, so it's basically a giant reflect then.
Yeah, store and then go again.
Okay.
So this is making it more useful that you can time it better.
Havoc and Smash's shared cooldown is now shown correctly in an ability cooldown clock.
Both are taking down players, so it could be a PvP thing.
Yeah. Cleave's cooldown clock is now correctly displayed when activated by shared cooldown with the Dragon Halberd special attack. Alright. Viraclus, Ricocheted Breath can no longer be healed with the Resonance ability. I remember we were talking a bit about that in the Elite Dungeon 2 strategy session, that you could Resonance that, but I guess you can't do that anymore.
No.
Which makes sense. It's kind of a special attack, right? So.
Oh yeah, it's a hard-hitting one, so yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Now moving on to some just general fixes throughout this. Removed a part of a fence and added a path into the Wizards Guild's west entrance.
Oh, that's good. You have to run all the way around.
Yeah, and I have a question.
That's cool.
Who ever goes to the Wizards Guild today?
People that do rune runs. Believe it or not, you can do a quick run to the rune shops, and you have all the runes you need for your daily wax.
Oh, okay.
And it's really super cheap that way.
And it's really good for money making too. I mean, even if you're not doing whiz wax, just sell it on the GE, and you're making a nice profit.
All right, yep. That makes sense. The auto disassembler and auto alker should no longer hold reclaimable items such as rune pouches, which was effectively allowing players to receive multiples of these.
Huh.
That's a funny one.
Yeah, there's always something like that that comes up. So
for years, the rune crafters have been begging to get bigger pouches, and now they
no. These aren't them. These aren't the essence pouches. These are the pouches where you can just store runes in them to go when you're doing combat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The rock in the southwest corner of the Grand Exchange will no longer be able to be walked on or over.
Because that was a problem.
Yeah. You know, I just want to point out that this week's patch notes, you know, people might give Jagex a lot of trouble for not putting out, you know, a full update or whatnot this week and the last week before that. But, you know, just the very fact that there are these tiny, tiny little things that are being focused on is reassuring to me. So, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, one bug can cause a lot of frustration. I mean, it can basically destroy half of your day. So, these quality of fixes are more important than one realizes. It's just, you don't get it sold on a silver platter. No, it's just, they are cleaning the floor so the butler don't step on it, and then you get all the food all over you.
Yeah.
Basically, that's kind of
players who have toggled off beneficial boosts will no longer receive pulse core buffs. And, you know, this is an important one going into double XP weekend.
Yeah, make sure you got that.
You want that toggled on because anytime you're in a public area, you're going to be getting that pulse core buff. So.
Didn't you escape a few once? Like rare item tokens?
I'm going off the ones that I have curated going into the show. If you want to add some in after, you're welcome to do that. You can no longer place kickable objects in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Like a cabbage.
Like a cabbage, or I guess. Can you kick a gnome ball?
I think you throw those, don't
you? Yeah, right. Fire spirits that spawn while using protein logs will now grant rewards based on your fire making level. And you know, I think this is something that needed to be fixed going into double XP weekend, because there's going to be lots of proteins in use this weekend, and you definitely want those rewards to be higher leveled than you know, just standard logs would be if you're using magic logs for that. So that's good. Players are now prompted to complete the wanted quest in order to start Devious Minds, because, you know, that is actually a requirement for that quest. So I guess that was just a weird case of it not slipping through. So,
yeah.
Players are also unable to continue Devious Minds. Players unable to continue Devious Minds will have to complete the wanted quest to continue. So basically, you see there, they're coming at that problem from both sides. Moving on to a bunch of other small little graphical ones. A small hole in Tuska's back has been patched over. Poor lass, they say.
Oh.
Can we remove Tuska from the map now, please? And just add a portal. Just add a portal to the Mazcab and Gobies.
But it's such a huge symbol. Oh, Victor, I mean, Jagex admitted they never thought we would actually win the World Event 3. This is a victory for us.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, hunting trophy.
Well, that way we'll always remember, never forget Tuska. And the kind of not that great world event that we did.
I guess.
Yeah, that can be discussed.
Made several changes to instance sections of quests to show more of the surrounding game world in an effort to make them feel more immersive. Quests include, in this update, are Let Them Eat Pie during the confrontation with Rollo, and Plague's End during the Mourner HQ and Ardoyan Castle segments. That was a good part of those quests. I remember that fondly.
Finally. Is that where you kick in the door?
Yep, and like, the RuneScape theme music plays because you know after 14 years you definitely had to get that done.
Yeah, that was awesome. I like that part.
I'm giving applause here because I have a questing account, printed on a ton of quests, and I'm always so annoyed that you can only see like 5 squares ahead of you, and then suddenly there's nothingness.
Yeah.
Good job, Jagex.
Crystal trees will now move locations at a specific time, starting at midnight game time, moving once every 2 hours. This is another good thing to know going into double XP weekend because, you know, there are better ways of woodcutting, but crystal trees are definitely still up there in terms of XP per hour. So
yeah. There's also better things to do on double XP weekend than woodcutting, but... Hey, to each his own, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
Gathering skills, though, are not what you want. Just a little tip. Just saying.
No XP waste.
I'm still waiting for a giant sum of money to come my way for double XP weekend, but I think that boat has perhaps sailed.
You've tried your best.
I have.
You need to talk to Tycho. Yeah. He's. I'm sure he knows people.
So, Shane, how much are we talking about? 200 mil?
Four?
I've seen 119. They have, like, third age dies are just, like, I mean, that's a pair of old clothes to them. It's nothing.
Yeah, I know.
They live in Lodge.
Yeah. Yeah. I've mastered the game economy of Star Trek Online. I have yet to master the game economy of RuneScape. Which is unfortunate. Evil Dave quest rewards XP are now given out in the form of lamps. Okay, that's good. That's a very early quest, and I mean, it allows people to not accept the XP if they don't want it. Elite Dungeon 2 music tracks now unlock more consistently when playing in group mode. And there's actually another page here of ninja fixes. So as you can see, it is a fat week of patch notes. Yeah. The Berthorpe Games Room, Giant Mole, King Black Dragon, and Chaos Elemental are now all listed as free to play in the grouping system. The tooltip
for mobile.
Yeah, that's true. Though I don't know. I mean, Berthorpe Games Room. I guess. When was the last time anyone went there?
I've never been there. I didn't know it was a thing.
Last time I went there must have been like 4 years ago to just check if it still existed.
Yeah, okay.
I've heard of the Falador Games Room, but I've never heard of a Berthra.
Falador?
Wasn't there a Falador Games Room? Or
the Party Room.
The Party Room, yeah. Right. Okay.
I mean...
That's where people go for drop table, or drop parties.
Yeah.
40!
The tooltip for Draken's Medallion now lists the remaining teleport charges.
Oh, finally. That's good.
Because you used to have to right-click examine on it to get that.
Yeah, and I forgot to do that too many times, and yesterday, whoops, uh-oh, you have to get to both the world and recharge it.
All right.
But I had it easier than everybody else because... If you do enough temple trekking, then you get that teleport added to your games necklace. Ooh. But I guess not everybody does that kind of activity.
No. Fairy Dossier from Fairy Tale Part 3. Economy building for dummies and do no evil. Philippe's note from Carnelian Rising. The ballad from Spirits of the Elid. The dusty scroll from Innate of the Myrek. And the ransom letter from Some Like It Cold. And the report from Within the Light are now all reclaimable from the POH bookcase.
Yes! More lore! I just had to play that. More lore.
That made Tycho excited.
Yes! Lore.
Updated the styles of some interface elements around divination creators to streamline them with modern interface styles. I didn't notice anything. You guys notice anything on this week?
I haven't, no.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
All right. And brought the Divination Crater interfaces to be aligned with the surface world and the Dungeoneering versions.
Not sure.
They look the same to me. So, not sure on what that's about. The drag sensitivity on the lodestones interface and abilities and items on the action bar has been reduced. So basically that means it'll be harder to misplace something when you're just moving around. So,
you know how long this has annoyed me? Like, you are too tempted.
Yeah, and it's probably annoyed other people too.
Like, you're moving your mouse really fast and clicking on the run, and it just drags it. Ah, that sensitivity has been too high for too long.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jagex.
The thieving, or the Ardorian thieving cape effect now correctly stacks with the master thieving skill cape and max cape when the perk is stored on it. This is something we should have actually talked about last week, is that Ardoian Cape 4 is definitely something you're going to want to be wearing if you're doing thieving, and the fact it can now be combined with the actual thieving cape is good. You know, we've been seeing this. I think it's the comp cape that can combine all these things together. So it's good to see this sub-combination like that.
Oh, yeah. This is really good.
And finally, Divine Spirits once again give XP when wearing a fire-making cape.
I actually have four more.
All right. What do you got?
Yeah, so the first one is rare item store show prices now correctly reflect their actual cost. For example, new rare items now cost 7,000 instead of 4,900 rare tokens. And this gave me a shock when I looked at it. I thought it was a fire sale, like everything is going.
That's more than half off.
What?
That's more than half off.
Yeah, and the crazy thing was that if you're doing the gamble, it costs 5,600.
What section is this under?
Oh, it's in there together with the patch notes of this week.
I'm looking at a different document. Okay. I'm looking at my PDF that looks all nice for people who are watching on video. But all right. What else you got?
So the next one is the trapdoor lever in a POH throne room can now only be manipulated on members' world to prevent free-to-play from being dropped into a dungeon room which they do not have access to.
Oh,
I should have done this. Like, oh, come into my house. Do you see how fancy it is? Now stand here. Don't move while I pull this lever and goodbye.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right.
Yeah. let's see here. Players that suffer with, let's see if I can say this right, arachnophobia will now have the option to flip the Araxol puzzles in clue scrolls.
So what does that mean for us?
So that means that everybody who's afraid of spiders and that really don't want to do Araxol puzzles now apparently can do another one.
It's just a picture, though.
Yeah, but I don't know, maybe people are scared of animated spiders.
I can understand that with the boss, but with a puzzle box clue scroll? Really?
Well, I don't know.
Tanis, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. That doesn't make much sense to me.
Well, there it is for accessibility. We want those updates. So
I just want to scratch my head at that for a moment because that just seems really, really odd. But anyways, what's your last one?
So the last one is actually not from the official patch notes, but from a certain site out there that some of us are not touching. But this is a hot fix that had to be mentioned. The mutated Fury no longer drops 10 times as often as it should have. It's now as rare as Mutated Fury and Bulge.
You know, this tells me so much. This tells me so much. You know, this tells me that when it comes to drop rates and whatnot, they don't have automated testing in place to look at the drop tables that are on these bosses and to verify that they are as expected. I don't know if this is something that they can do, but it seems like to me one of the simplest tests I would write if I was, you know, designing a test suite for this game, because that's something that people do in software, is that, you know, you can give people a beta piece of software, right? And you can ask them to test it and you can ask them to break it and whatnot. And that's fine. People are going to do that. But as software developers, there are what's called automated unit testing. And there are various different methodologies that someone can do for that. And, you know, you can sometimes even have automated ones that write themselves based on the functions and the expected outcomes of the code that you write in documentation. Or you can actually write the test yourselves. And, you know, for drop tables, I think that's something that should probably be in a test suite like that. But, you know, this just speaks volumes. And I found that absolutely hilarious when I saw that this was happening with this at Elite Dungeon 2.
Somebody missed a zero somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they went straight up from 10 mil to 67 mil on the market.
No, that's the way it should be, I guess, eh? You know, maybe if it wasn't double XP weekend, we'd be running Elite Dungeon 2 this weekend.
Oh, I love it, except that it doesn't give me the very last lore book.
Oh, all right, fair enough.
I have a grudge against it.
No, there's a guitar grudge.
Yeah, I should play something more fancy, but maybe later.
All right, so that's it for the patch notes this week. That was Ninja Week. One final thing before we thank the wonderful Patreon subscribers. They have unveiled a RuneFest 2018 mobile app that will provide stage schedules, event floor plans, merchandise ranges and pricing, social network for RuneFest, and personalized schedules and notifications. It's available for free via the RuneFest guidebook website. And if you look at this website, you can actually see what the app looks like here. Available on iOS, Android, and web. So if we just open up the web version here, let's see what this does for us. And oh yeah, here we are. Lo and behold, general information, buy tickets, notifications, old school RuneScape mobile, and important info. It's not populated yet, but it's there. So
well, I can actually see myself in the background picture.
Oh yeah, you're right. You can. You're right. You're on there. You definitely are. So.
Is Jagex paying you for your likeness there?
Well, they put me on their latest RuneFest hype video, so that's a sign they want me.
Yeah, and you know, anytime you dress up for RuneFest, it shows something. And you know, that's actually something I haven't thought of yet about this, and I don't think
you're trying to wear? You need your farming cape, Shane.
You need a pitchfork.
Good luck getting a pitchfork in.
Yeah, you're
UK.
Not gonna get that on.
Yeah, good luck. They're gonna confiscate it. No, you're not going here. Get on my lawn.
Tycho, we should talk about how to make capes at some point.
Oh, a farming cape, you mean?
Yeah.
Trimmed or untrimmed?
Master.
Okay, that's a hard one.
Oh, well, you just make a regular one and then set the bottom of it on fire, and you'll get the.
Ooh, that works too.
Yeah. We also got Golden Gnome nominations. Nominations close on September 6th. I'm, you know, not really too much of a fan about these, but I'll mention that they're indeed open. Video awards are for RuneScape Video of the Year, OSRS Video of the Year, Best New RS Video Maker, Best New OSRS Video Maker, Best RS Video Maker, Best OSRS Video Maker, Best New RuneScape Streamer, Best New OSRS, and so on and so forth. Then some art awards, cosplay.
What? Where's the best new RS news show category?
Or just best podcast, right?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell? I think, shut out.
I don't know. Can you have an award category if there's really only two active RS podcasts out there?
Yeah, we can still be the best.
Indeed.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just going to say this, you know, we are doing this in video, but one of the best things that we do is we do the audio version of the show, and I have taken painstaking effect to make sure that the audio version will not be hurt at all in terms of doing the video version of the show. So audio is always going to be king for us, and I just wanted to mention that with this. Yeah.
If you don't know the dedication of Shane, you haven't heard the clip show.
Also, I would like to take this moment to point out that the Twitch streams have been split. There's now a RuneScape Twitch and an old school RuneScape Twitch, so it's been split. So that should allow them to better split that apart.
Yeah, and I was also to say that there are some really good people out there that's doing an amazing work that really deserves the Golden Gnome. But for me, they are very silent. They have their own kind of fans, and they're not advertising, and that's something I really miss. I know that Jagex has trying to hype up with it, especially now before RuneFest, but by tweeting one on the other, but I think it's a shame that they don't get out more somehow.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that might be something we can look at for 2019, because I think that's a service that needs to be provided. But
a community hub.
Yeah, kind of like that. So we have a couple discussion questions first, but I think it's an important time now to give some thanks to our wonderful Patreon subscribers this week, and that's Cody T, Nora, Kyle, and Brock H. Thank you guys for your wonderful support of ours.
Thank you.
The update.
You guys are great.
Yes, thank you.
And if you
give me a few seconds, Cody T. And we have Nora, then comes Kyle and Brooke H. There we go.
Thank you, Tycho. And if you guys want to join,
it's not every week you get.
It's not every week you get a live guitar solo on RSBNB update. But if you guys want to join these guys, you can learn more about that at patreon.com/RSBNB. We offer three tiers. For the first tier, $1 a month, you'll get a special mention in our show notes each and every week, and early access to the show notes. We bumped that down a tier, so everyone gets access to that now. And you help fund the costs of hosting and production of RSBNB update, because that is not something that is a zero cost. That is indeed expensive month to month. And if you want to go one step further to $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord if you use that. You also get a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month and access to high quality stereo AAC versions of the podcast to hear that excellent opening theme music. And for $5 a month, you'll get a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and exclusive access that we use to the outtakes for the clip show at the end of the year. And you do continue to help us host and fund the cost of producing RSBNB Update. Currently, we're at the video show tier, $30 a month, but if we get a little bit more, we'll be resuming live shows. So this is the last live stream for a week. We thought, okay, we could do a live stream this week, or we can't do a live stream this week, but it's not RuneFest week yet. Not yet. It's Double XP weekend week. So we're going to do a live stream for Double XP weekend week. So if you want to hear more about this live streaming thing, or if you want to see more of these, subscribe at patreon.com/RSBNB. And if we get to the $45 tier, we'll do live shows each and every week. And if we even blow past that and get to $60 a month, Tanis will be live streaming RuneScape every Monday, offering opinions
every
of
Monday.
The week updates.
That's right.
So, all that and more at patreon.com/RSBNB. And there's actually another reason to join as well. You know, we didn't plan this, Tanis. We didn't plan this. But we decided, you know, it's been a while. Let's have a chat. Let's have a chat with the Patreon subscribers and see what they think. Mm-hmm. So we're actually going to be hosting a Patreon town hall. Tannis and myself, this will happen in early September after Double XP weekend. We'll nail down the date, and it'll be posted on the Patreon page, but it'll be live on Discord. And for those of you guys who can't access it due to time zones or whatnot, we'll record it and put it up on Patreon as well, so you guys can hear what we talked about. And basically what we want to do with this is we want to gather everyone around, see how you guys are liking the current Patreon tier, see if there's anything you would like us to do on the podcast or like us to do in regards to Patreon. And basically this is your chance to, you know, have a sit down with us and say, you know, you guys are doing this good, maybe you guys could do this better, maybe you guys should try this entirely different. So this is a chance to sit down with us and have a look. So feedback is always welcome too. You know, you can get on with us at Twitter at RSBNB, but this is your chance to sit down with us and interact live with Tannis and myself. And, you know, there's also another thing on that Patreon page too. We had that wonderful player moderator special last weekend. That was certainly interesting, wasn't it?
It took a couple of days to to decompress from that one.
Yeah. And, you know, I think like the EOC monthly bit that we did, we all learned something from it. So that's good. But
I still haven't listened to it. I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, patreon.com/RSBNB is where you can find all that. The monthly bit, last month's episode on the player moderators, and the month before that on EOC, the upcoming town hall, and all of the other things that you get when you subscribe at patreon.com/RSBNB. So thank you, everyone, for your support, and we look forward to seeing you at our first town hall in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I can't wait.
All right.
See you very soon.
Yep.
We ready to move on to questions?
Yeah, let's.
I think we're going to bite the bullet here, aren't we?
Yeah, take it. Come on.
It's time.
This needs to be said. This is an audio question from Parnassius.
G'day, guys. Pern again, and this week I'd like a discussion on something I found really disturbing in a podcast you had on a couple of weeks ago. David was on and mentioned that many of the RS3 elite PVMers are now over on the official private server game, Old School, farming Theatre of Blood because it converts to 100 mil an hour GP over in the main game of RS3. To me, this is really a terrible situation, which will hurt the economy of the game. I have said since release that JAGEX should make an official stance on this transference of gold between the two games and ban it outright. This would hurt the real-world trade black market gold sellers, which again came up in the past week with a popular YouTuber getting all of his accounts banned for laundering gold in-game for them, as well as protect players from some of the scammers out there. More importantly, though, it would protect the integrity of both games, ensuring that the economies remain stable and that legitimate players can enjoy the game and not have markets ruined because of this. I know JAGEX have said it's too hard to control and that they do not endorse gold swapping, but I'm sure once several of accounts have been banned for it, the majority of players will play smart and not participate in it, which would minimize just how many resources would be needed to police it. Love to hear your thoughts on this, and once again, happy scaping to you all.
I think this is the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one thing to get straight here. RuneScape 3 and Old School RS are basically twins. They started at the same time, and then they were separated. And they are grown into, their own ways. Old School RS has its niches, yep. And so does RS3.
Yep.
We have a ton of people who are playing Old School RS and saying that RS3 is easy scape, and we have the other way around, RS3 players saying that Old School RS is so horribly outdated. And JAGEX has stated that they are now going to treat those two as separate games. That is something that they need to put down the foot on, that they are now totally separate games that shouldn't interact with each other. But that's hard because they are twins. That's gone different.
Yeah, and there's you know a complete interaction between the two, because if you log into one, you see your friends who are on old school, your friends who are on RS3. There's no way to get around that. So they are inherently linked.
Membership for one gives you membership for the other.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, while we're on this topic, why doesn't old school have its own membership package where people who just want to play old school can purchase that? Do you think that would fly? Or do you think there just needs to be one RuneScape membership on this?
I think there needs to be two options. The first option being, as you say, that only RS3 or only old school RS membership. The second being a Jagex membership that includes all games that Jagex is working on.
Yeah.
Which at the moment,
yeah,
RuneScape 3 and old school, and maybe in the future even more games. So they need to draw the line here. And personally, I would think it's sad if you are playing RuneScape 3 and looking at your friends list and not being able to see that they are playing old school. But somewhere you have to draw the line that these are two separate games and they don't interact with each other.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to the gold swapping between them, I guess the question is, should Jagex just put the foot down? Because, I mean, there was that one account that Parnassius mentioned that was, you know, completely wiped out for this. But, you know, this isn't an issue like botting was an issue. This is just an ethical issue between the games. And I think until Jagex says something on this, people are just going to keep doing it. Because it's a simple way of getting money in RS3.
Well, you're gonna do what makes sense, right? And so if you can go and play old school and make 3 or 4 or 5 times the amount of money that you can in RS3, that would be what is efficient and what you're going to do. So I don't really fault the players on this one. Jagex does need to make a statement. I do want to go back though, because I'm just hearing now that that person that was banned for it being a gambling.
Oh, okay. Website. So it had nothing to do with this anyways.
Right. That being said, I think this should be separate. And the reason for that is there's absolutely no reason to go and do Solak or something like that in RS3 when you can go and basically do, you know, a boss where you might have to prayer switch and take a couple steps to the left and a couple steps to the right, and that's it. And you're going to make, like I said, 4 or 5 times the amount of money. I don't think that's necessarily fair for the people that don't play old school. I mean, that might be great for people that play both games, but it's not great for the RS3 players that only play RS3. I've also from the same source, I've also found this out very recently. You know, there are such a thing as old school bonds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, now, why would you want to buy an RS3 bond when you can buy an old school bond and the transfer rate is way higher? So,
Oh my God. Now it just gets complicated.
It just escalated, didn't it?
Yeah.
What is an OSRS bond worth right now?
That I don't know. I don't play the game, but I found this out from my friends that do, and they, you know, and they do transfer and everything, and it's, you know, they're not doing anything wrong, but it's it probably needs to be solved. I'm not sure.
The thing that makes me so annoyed is that you can gain so much in one game without interacting with the other. I mean, you can play old school RS and gain a stupid amount of money in RuneScape 3 without really playing RuneScape 3. I mean, sure, Tanis, you say that people will always go for what's best. And I think that's fine. If people find that Telos gives the most money, then do it. But not something that's outside of the game. I mean, what's the difference between Brave World Trading? And you know what the stupid thing is? Well, if I say you get a lot of things, but you really don't play the game, what's the first thing you think on? treasure hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't really play the game. This here is the exact same thing they say about treasure hunter. You don't really play the game. You play another game.
Either yeah.
Treasure hunter with real world money, or old school RS with their mechanics and their theater of blood.
Well, and I think that's something too we have to look at. It's not just a theater of blood. That's actually not even the best money making per hour. I know Dave said that, but almost any boss over there is going to be easier and faster. It all equals out over time, but that's actually one of their more challenging things that they have. So that it's not all. I mean, it's not all just that. And look, and we could also even have a whole discussion on how Telos is game breaking for RS3 with the amount of GP that it spits out. But it is RS3, so it is apples and oranges in that regard.
Old school like, Bond currently going for 3.6 million GP over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when the transfer rates are right, you can do well.
Yeah. Call the wagon.
But how does this work if the bond is worth 3.6 million GP? You buy a bond for what? Presumably $5, and you only get
like $6. Yeah.
And you only get 3.6 mil.
Right.
Oh, but there's the
transfer rate.
Oh, so people are transferring at a rate of. So it's not
currency trading.
Okay. Do we know what the transfer rate is today?
It fluctuates. I don't know exactly what it is today, but it fluctuates. Like, if you hit at the right times, you can do well. Like I said, like it's currency trading, essentially.
But if we go back to...
Hang on.
Okay,
what if he even just went to old school, did fletching and high-alked magic longbows? And then transferred that GP over.
It's going to be worth more money than doing it here.
And, you know, the only thing preventing this from becoming a major issue is that there's not that many people doing it that are causing it to be an issue. If I was a complete idiot, you know what I'd do? You know what I'd do?
Tell me. It's me.
And I should refrain that, not a complete idiot, because what I view this as a smart idea. But if I was a complete idiot and didn't care about the community, what I would do is, you guys know what I'm going to say?
I'm guessing it.
What is it?
Say it.
I'm guessing I'm going to think it's really smart.
I would get into old school RuneScape, and I would get everyone I know who plays OSRS, everyone who left when OSR or when EOC came out. I'm going to get them to all start making money on old school RuneScape. I'm going to get everyone in on this, and I'm going to get them all to do this and move that GP over to RS3. And presumably what would happen with that is we would move millions, if not billions, of GP over by a coordinated effort. That is the only thing preventing this from happening, the fact that no one has done a coordinated effort on this.
That we know of.
Could you imagine if you had a clan of...
If you take a little bit off the top, Shane, you could, you know...
Right. Right.
A little something for yourself, you know?
Like, could you imagine if you had a clan of 100 people doing this?
Are you thinking of a certain clan?
Yes, I am.
I have to get out of chains.
But I'm not going to say who that might be or that anyone should do this, because I think it is an ethically wrong thing to do.
Yeah, it is. But... as Tanis said, and that I agree with, people have a tendency to go towards what's the most efficient. And there will always be this struggle between what's good, what's the best, and what's the right thing to do.
Okay, we got a transfer rate. My friend here, Jingle77, is pretty knowledgeable. I would say very knowledgeable in this. It looks like it's a 5.5 to 6.
For 1 mil of RS3.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a bit.
So basically you make 5 mil on OSRS and you get 1 mil on RS3. So, and even then, I mean, you're looking at $10 to do that if you're doing the bond. So the fact it's a transfer rate like that doesn't make the bond a good way to do it, because you're better off just spending that money on an RS3 bond if you were to do that. So the bond issue is out the window. But it all depends how much money you can bring in on OSRS.
Well, it also depends on whatever that rate is at that time, because it goes up and down. I mean, it fluctuates just like currency.
Do we know how wildly it fluctuates?
I don't.
Okay.
Jingles, do you know?
Because if it's not wild, then it's, you know, a relatively reflective thing, then it should be fine. But
I mean, if it's like true in a sense that it goes up and down with a couple of GP, okay, that's fine. But if it's like fire runes or feathers, something that it's used all the time, oh wow, then you can really nail it.
No, Jingles, we don't know. We don't know how much time it takes to get the stats and requirements on OSRS to do that. We don't play it.
Does take a while.
And you know, this is the great benefit of doing this live with chat, is that we do have a streak like this here.
Shall we sum it up?
No. Herblaw says it's been 5.5 to 6 for most of the year. All right. So 5.5 to 6. It's not nearly as bad as I thought it was.
That makes the bond issue not as big of a deal.
Yeah. And, you know, the amount of time it would take to level up an OSRS account to do this, get combat gear in place. So it's really, I guess, just good for someone who has been playing OSRS for that long. But still, it's a major ethical issue. And, you know, I still stand by the idea that, you know, even if you had a clan of 100 people who played OSRS doing this, I think it would get noticed and would get quashed relatively quickly.
Well, I think that goes to, I mean, that kind of answers the question of why Jagex hasn't done anything, because when you said there's a low amount of people that are doing this, there actually probably is, because there's very few people that probably play both games that have put enough time in the OS to actually be able to do this.
Yeah,
and we're talking about a lot of time.
And I think
a lot more time than I'd ever want to spend.
Right, and I think the unfortunate side effect is that it's not going to get noticed unless it becomes a big issue.
Mm. Yeah, and at that point there has to be drastic changes.
Yeah,
and nobody really likes that.
Yeah, but nonetheless, it is a big issue. And thank you for finding the clarification on the fact that the guy was banned for gambling. Makes it seem as though that there is no banning going on for that, which is unfortunate. So.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pernasius, for that one. Next one is here from Chodo. He says, the skilling backpack is, back. I've heard players complaining about this because you get a backpack whether or not you completed the event that rewarded you with it or not. Some suggest the item should have been available only to those that played the event in the first place. I have a neutral opinion on the matter. But what do you think about it? Should previous event rewards be exclusive to those that actually played the content? And, you know, I think the skilling backpack is an interesting one because it's a treasure hunter item. And
wait?
It was.
Oh,
It was initially, because you could fast forward through that event by getting treasure hunter tokens for it, the Port Serum Rebuild-a-thon event.
And so just a little bit of story before we go further. The skilling backpack, as you said, it began after the East were invading Port Salim, and Jagex took the opportunity to make this graphical rework of Port Salim.
Yes.
Then we would construct a boat to hunt down this slave trader in the Ark, which would open up the Ark. And while building the boat, that took several days, you would get a scaling backpack with an X amount of charges, depending on how much you interacted or play the event. And as you said, Shane, through Treasure Hunter, you could speed up how fast you completed the event. So that's history. And Yeah, so the skilling backpack started there, and now it's back.
Yeah, and just a bit of a rundown on what this does. It now gives a 5% XP boost for 10 minutes and comes with 50 charges. So whenever that ticks off, you'll get that 5% XP boost. And this will stack with everything on Double XP Weekend. There's also a chance that you'll be able to get consumables, which include ancient relics, which can be smashed for lamps and XP stars, dungeoneering tokens, prismatic lamps and stars, battleship kits and summer pinatas, also protein items as well. From this, as well as skilling helpers, including things like pulse cores, dwarven toolboxes, magic note papers, and portables, just to name a few. So this is the skilling backpack that's in game right now. And you know, I think that the fact that it was initially a treasure hunter item and they're finding ways to work these in is a good thing. And we talked about this last week, Tanis. It's moving treasure hunter to that kind of combination space that Rune Pass had. And I suspect we'll be hearing more about this in the near future. So with that being said, I actually think it's a good thing that they brought it back. But if it's a standard event, if it's a standard event reward that is not intrinsically tied to treasure hunter, I think that those pieces of content, you know, cosmetic overrides and the whatnot, should be limited to those who played the event. But the fact that this is treasure hunter and we're in what seems now to be a phase where treasure hunter is trying to be reformed and to be a little bit less, I don't want to say in your face, because it still can be in your face sometimes, but they're trying to reform it a bit to make it a little bit less annoying. I think it's a good point.
I mean, I agree with that. My only question has been, is it better to wear the backpack or lose the 1%, you know, that you're going to lose if you're not using a cape? Like, you know, the summoning outfit, I think, has a cape or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so I tried to use it when I was cooking and then realized I had the cooking perk on my cape. And so I burn a bunch of fish. I'm like, damn it. So it wasn't worth it in that regard.
Yeah. And
I feel like
you hit the nail on the head also with this. The fact that you're making that decision, anytime there is a major decision like that to be made in what is otherwise standard vanilla blasé gameplay, is a good thing.
Right. Exactly. And I don't mind that they brought it back. I think it's actually good for the same reasons that you outlined, Shane. Yeah. I probably go a little bit further if it is a cosmetic, I'm fine with that being locked away, you know, time gated. That's fine. But if it was an actual useful item, I don't mind that coming back. I think it's kind of unfortunate that you do miss out on things.
I mean, I could totally see this being added to the augment store, and then you can save up charges.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Hey, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah,
slowly.
Yeah, because the augment store is kind of flat at this point in the game.
Dude, I got between augments and my skill and my tokens and might tokens, I got a mil cooking bonus XP this week.
Yeah, I'm actually going to turn some of that in before Double XP begins. So let's move on to the next part of the question. What are your plans for Double XP weekend? I'll start on this. And, you know, the GP was initially an issue here. And here's my little Herblor calculation. I'm not sure if that's coming through on here. But basically, what ended up happening is that I calculated that for the prayer renewal, super prayer renewal potions, you get 254 XP, factoring everything in. There's my current XP on top. And with 11 million bonus XP gain, factoring in that 254 XP, that'd be about 46,000 potions I need to make to get through that with those ones. And
how many?
46K.
Oh, okay.
To use that.
That can be
XP.
Done.
Yes, it can be done, but the problem is that I would need 800 mil in cash to do that.
Ooh.
And
Ooh.
I would get about 700 mil of that back. So if anyone wants to loan me 800 mil worth of liquidity for Double XP weekend at this point.
You're still trying. You're going to have to talk to the people on World 119, man. That's the only people I know that got money like that.
119. Why just 119?
That's a portable world where they flash their wealth, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the Swedish world. Hmm. I never knew that.
It sure is, and they got money. Yeah. Money.
But what I'm going to do aside from that is construction. I hope to finish that one off with protein items. I was going to do some smithing, but I'm level 94 right now, and I think it would be a lot more fun to wait to do smithing until the smithing rework is out.
No.
You could finish it out, though, Shane.
I know I could, but I won't get to the chance to level up with the proper smithing
but
skill.
If you get
but then that just makes you have to wait for that awesome portal in the Max Guild that you'll be standing outside the door. We're going to be like, oh, hey, Shane, come on in. He's like, I can't come in, guys. I don't have my smithing. I can't do it. Hold on. Let me go get my quest cape and try to find a teleport near wherever we're going.
Now listen to Tannis here. And Shane, and when it gets out, you must be on top to see everything they have to offer. You owe the community to tell us everything about that update. So you shouldn't lock yourself behind content like that. You need to realize, Shane, that you need to hop on board as captain on USS Enterprise and go away to the Maximilius star system to discover all life that exists there and beyond. It's time. And that time is now, Shane.
I don't know.
Good luck, Shane.
The thing is that with the mining and smithing rework, yes, that is a good idea to be able to make all that armor when it comes out, Elder Rune and whatnot, and the masterwork armor, energized armor even. Because the energized armor, we know that one is definitely going to be tier 92 power armor. So
yeah.
It requires 99 smithing.
Yes. Are you going to put?
I'll be making it. Shane's going to be over there, like I need to get 99. Come on, tink 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 tink. Little hammer.
I will hear Shane breathing on your neck, Tannis, when that update comes out. Like, are you done yet? Are you done yet?
Mm-hmm. I'll have it, so I don't have to. See, that's what 120s are for, Shane. Get the 99, and then get 120 when the mining comes out. That's what I want to do.
That sounds like a plan. So there you go. Shane's double XP
weekend. I'll make you guys a deal.
Uh-huh.
I will do it if you donate to the Herblore Project for double XP weekend.
Well, Janice is working on the summoning project, and I only have so many shards.
Tycho?
Well, I'm just like Tannis. I'm working on a summoning project, but I have been doing daily runs to Yatiso. But we could. I mean, if it's for you, I could donate.
All I'm asking for is donations of prayer renewal fours and prayer potion force.
Yeah.
If that would be the case.
I just think you just said 800 mil and I'm not.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to donate that much, but I mean, 1,000 potions here, 1,000 potions there.
I would donate if I had anything to donate to you. Unfortunately,
okay,
I am 80 mil in Hawk right now. So.
You know what? I'm donating, Shane. What do you say about 75 mil? Does that get you anywhere?
Tannis, is that worth a 99?
Yeah, dude. It's worth a 99 to save you money. Shane, I'm going to appeal to your inner conservative. You get to save money by doing it on double XP.
You need to waste money to save money.
All right.
Okay.
Protein bars and
deal, Tycho.
Okay.
And I will pay you back in the future. I will give you something at RuneFest.
Oh yeah, you will pay me back. I'm going to give you a 99 strength bear hug. They're going to be my teddy bear.
Uh-oh.
That's very concerning.
Bear Shade? have fun. He's gonna take you home.
Stop.
I'm going to take a selfie with me and Shane, and then how I squeeze him real hard. Okay.
Not that kind of game. It's not that kind of podcast.
Oh my god.
Okay. I will show what my was, good side.
What was your plans, Tycho, for the doing some summoning?
Yeah, let's bring this back to Earth here.
Earth? Like, he's not here.
No, solid ground.
Now, this isn't Star Trek. Anyways, my double XP weekend's plans will be summoning. Why? Because there's this rumor going around that, 120 summoning is going to come out. Well, I'm not going to go for 120 summoning, but I will go for at least 105, so I have a head start if it ever comes out. And then I can enjoy the content. I say enjoy with no idea what it is, but yeah. And then enjoy those painful months of grinding to 120 when it comes out. But that's the future, so just a head start.
All right.
And you'll get at least one more double XP weekend before then.
And I will be doing a lot of training on my questing account because I love questing and I want to clear those quest requirements. So this is a good timing for that. So right, those are my plans.
All right. How about you, Tanis?
Man, I'm glad you asked because I am knee-deep in a month-long XP competition that ends at the end of Double XP weekend. At the end of which I plan to probably be third and walk away with a Nox bow, a full set of Serenic, and a couple pieces of Hydrix jewelry.
Holy cow!
That's for third. But my friend Brewthrew and Jingles here, they're both number one and two. They both have about 170 mil on the month so far. I thought I was doing good with 96, but, you know, hey. So,
come on, you gotta do it.
So I'm hoping to maybe put up 100 mil over the weekend. Try to do I'm working summoning, cooking. I have a couple hundred K broadheads to do fletching because I'm cheap like that. And like I said, I've already had to borrow money. And the highlight of this weekend is tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. I will be live. I will be streaming 8-hour shifts each of those days to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
And where can we find you doing this?
On my Twitch channel. It's The Blind Gamer, Tanis79.
Blind Gamer?
Yeah, there's underscores in between the words because Twitch won't let you not have a...
Ah, I see.
You have to have a...
That's totally worth a guitar solo. that's so kind of you.
So should be a good weekend. Should be fun. I probably got like 40 or not 40 mil. I'll get real close to 120 cooking, and I don't know what we'll do. I don't know how far I'll get with summoning. I have 40K hides and like 10K talismans.
So wow, that's a ton more than I have.
See how that works out. Yeah,
I should start panic buying.
I'm trying to go big. We're in. I mean, dude, this competition's for real. These boys come. they come gunning for bear. So
I'm gonna be. I don't know if I go hard. I'm not going to have anything left, and I really want to have some money left in case I want to make a very certain purchase I have my eyes on for a certain amount of time. But just for you, Shane, I'm paying 75 million, and I just want to make clear to everybody I'm not doing real-world trading here. I'm not paying Shane $75 million so he can be my teddy bear.
I'm God.
So Jagex can't ban me, okay? This is a donation to Shane so he can bring the highest quality to BT's podcast.
I think what you're saying is Shane is – you're paying Shane to be your expert, right? No goods and services are taking place here. They're being exchanged, but everyone knows what they are supposed to do.
Well, I'll just say once again to follow Tannis at twitch.tv/the_blind_gamer_Tannis79. Link will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com for that. And that leads nicely into the next part of the question. Anything you want to say about RuneFest? Will you be there? Do you have any plans for it? Well, I can say that I know Tannis is not going. We might have potentially RSBNB update plans for that yet, but we're going to sort that out after Labor Day. I will be there. Tycho will be there. Sirion will be there. And a bunch of other clan questers. I think we have upwards of 20 planned for this
21,
year.
21, actually.
Okay, so we did cross the 20 barrier.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are lots of plans. Some clan quest related, some personally related, some podcast related. But podcast related, this is a good time to ask, I guess, everyone out there. Those of you guys listening to the podcast, what do you guys want for RuneFest coverage? Do you guys want a episode on the Saturday that RuneFest is? Or do you just want a regular weekly episode that week with maybe some clips on next week's episode? Or do you want something in between? Maybe live periscopes at the event?
Have some live periscopes, man. You got to have some live periscopes and throw it back to the studio where I'll hold the fort down and be like, right now they're getting ready to go into Mod Mark's talk the hell he's talking about.
Tannis. You know? Tannis. Uh-huh. You know, I would love to do that. But there's this thing called OBS.
Oh, yeah, well. I mean, OBS ain't that bad. I can work it, Shane. Okay. I know how to use it.
All right. So maybe what we should do is just get rid of the iMac then and run the show from Windows.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, Shane. Oh, wow. Why didn't I think of this earlier?
Ay. But
we definitely at least need some live video, some clips.
Okay.
Like, you got to take some footage of you at the event.
Yeah, and you know, watching RuneFest before online, I was surprised the fact that no one was doing live. So it's going to be interesting finding stuff out because, you know, you need to figure out how to make a phone work in the UK and whatnot. So that's on the short list of getting things done. But, you know, it should be good. So lots of interesting stuff planned.
Oh, okay. We will definitely be doing commentary on the big reveals, right, Shane?
Yes, yes.
Yes, for sure.
And, you know, last year we did that on the day of. I don't know if we're going to do that on the day of this year, but it makes sense to get it out quick. So, and I think what we're going to do, you know, I'm speaking kind of meta here from the production side of it, but there is a plan to have an RSBNB update producers meeting next weekend, I think, after Labor Day, where we're going to chat about all this and choose the date for the Patreon town hall and, you know, sort all that out. So, but yeah, that's the way we work here. I mean, there's no reason not to be transparent about what RSBNB update is doing, I think. So.
Well, yeah, we don't have any secrets. I mean,
yeah,
what you see is what you get.
Of course. All righty. Well, thank you that. Right. Yes.
Hi. Hey, I'm also going, Shane.
Well, I spoke for you. I spoke for you.
You always forget about. Don't forget about Tycho. You're gonna you're gonna be his teddy bear.
So okay. So I'm going to do at RuneFest. Well, I'm trying to arrive at a Thursday, and And RuneFest, as everybody knows, is on Saturday. So I will basically try to book an apartment where I and several clannies can live together. Shane, he won't be living with me, so he's saved. But, yeah.
Tycho?
And, yeah, what?
Do you drink? Are you going to the party thing beforehand?
No, I'm actually not a party person, but I am going to the night before this year, if you're asking that.
Yeah, because I want you to have... ask Shane, but he's not a drinker, so I want someone to have a drink on my behalf, since I can't be there, you know? Pour some liquor out for your homie.
Well, you know? That's not me. I'm the only sober engineer in this part of the country.
It's vacation!
I still don't drink. It's a poison.
You're European. You all drink, don't you?
But I'm the guy who's not drinking, so I can see everybody else get drunk and laugh at them.
You mean you were allowed to drink when you're 16 and you're like, nah.
Because I love seeing people dancing in their underwear around a Christmas tree in the middle of the winter. Do you know how fun that is to watch and throw snowballs at them?
I don't, but I'll take your word for it.
That's plenty of fun, and I have never laughed so much seeing people taking duct tape and take people from other school and kidnap them and just put them on a lamppost 2 meters above the ground drunk. That's fun. Anyways, jumping back to RuneFest, I will try to get there from Thursday to Monday, and I'm already making a long list here. It's a shame my camera isn't as good as quality that we wanted, or else you would see a long list here. But let's see what it says here. It says RuneFest and the night before. It says here cake. It says Chotos medal. It says LiveCam ? Sunday tour. And it says something Sirion plus Shane ? And something else. So
what is that supposed to mean?
Oh, you will find out.
You're not gonna find out.
What are you going to say?
You're not gonna make us do something. You're not, what are you gonna try and make us do?
Oh, you will find out. Why did I even say that? Now you will be prepared. Anyways,
keep him company in case he gets afraid of the dark there, Teddy.
I don't like where this podcast is going. In all fairness, let's just wrap this up and move on to tech news.
Okay, I will just wrap it up. So I will try to be a good host for the clan and lots of planning to do. And I will just attend the night before and RuneFest, have fun. And I don't know if I will do cosplay this year, but that remains to be seen. And I will be very nice to Shane as a matter of friend. Okay.
Good. All right. Thank you for that question, Chodo. I think that took this RSPB update episode into an area where it's never gone before.
Yeah. Never? In 14 years?
No.
Ooh.
All right. And he says, have a good weekend, guys, on hoods. Bonus points if you guys know about the hoods. So that being said, if you guys want to send your own questions in, email questions@rsbnb.com. You can also call or text 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632, or you can leave us a DM or @mention on Twitter with your questions. So that's where the questions can go. Discussion topics, questions, you name it, anything and everything. All right, so tech news. Yeah, we've been talking about somewhat unfortunate tech news before, but let's talk a little bit about Fortnite again, you guys, shall we?
Yeah. So,
I'm kind of anti-Fortnite. Do I have to?
Yeah, we do. We do. This is an important one.
I thought you loved it.
Well, yeah, but then every, like, 8-year-old in the whole world decided to like it, and it lost its fun.
It became mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So there's a major security issue with Fortnite and the Android version of it in particular. And it's not going to go away anytime soon, because one of the benefits of using Android, or perhaps a negative if you look at it this way, is that on an Android phone, you can basically sideload any application and bypass the Google Play App Store. So this means that if your friend makes a great app but doesn't decide to publish it on the store, you can still load that application up. You can't do that on the iPhone, but nonetheless, you can do it on Android. So what this has effectively allowed to do is to put the 125 million plus players who use Fortnite and potentially might be using it on Android, it might put them in a position where they are hurt. Because what actually is happening with this is that Epic is going around Google, and they don't want to give up the revenue cut that would go to Google for the in-app purchases, because you can use the in-app purchases on Android to purchase downloadable content in Fortnite. And Epic Games wants the entirety of this for them on their platform. And as a result, that's why they're sideloading the application and not going through Google on this. Now, you might be wondering, okay, so they just
because they don't make enough money.
Yeah, yeah. So you might be wondering, okay, what's happening with this? Well, 2 days after Fortnite was released on Android, a Google engineer discovered a vulnerability that would let a hacker replace the app with a fake version of the game. And this is known as a man-in-the-disk attack because it uses openings on the external storage device on the Android phone, like your SD card, to install malware. Google says that they notified Epic Games about the vulnerability. Epic Games fixed the vulnerability with a patch on August 16th, but because it's not on the Google Play Store, users need to download this on their own. So Google normally keeps these vulnerabilities under wraps for 90 days, and they were supposed to do that in this time. But instead, a week after this, Google issued a public release where they basically said that, you know, there's this vulnerability in the Fortnite app, it's happening on our platform. And this made Epic Games CEO Tim Sweeney very upset about this because it wasn't enough time for the patch to roll out to everyone, and it's not the 90 days that is standard in the security environment with this. So there's a little bit of hate going back and forth between Epic and Google if Google released this to kind of get back at Epic for not using the Google Play Store for releasing their software. But at the end of the day, if you play Fortnite on Android, you must make sure that you update the application because it's not going to be updated through the normal means of Google Play. So you need to make sure that you have at least the August 16th patch or later applied to your Fortnite install if you do play Fortnite on Android. And, you know, I don't know that Google should have released this, but at the same time, you know, this is one of the benefits of the iOS platform, and you might call it a benefit or you might call it a downside.
Standards.
Is that you cannot just load any app onto your phone from the internet on iOS. And personally, I feel that's a good thing. Those who use Android prefer it because you can do that, but you need to, you know, just like on your PC, be aware of security and whatnot with that. So it's a story of both worlds, and you can see it both ways on this being both a positive and a negative. But at the end of the day, I would very much prefer Google to clamp down on this, but I think Google, you know, if they were to do this, would receive pressure from like the European Union and the like in terms of creating a monopolistic environment, which would be absolutely ridiculous because, well, let's face it, iOS already does that. So,
does.
You know, buyer beware if you're using Fortnite on Android.
I don't want to break your heart, Shane, but I kind of got to.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what iOS has that Android don't.
What's that?
Regulations. I know you probably don't believe in those.
No, I believe in them for iOS.
For iOS.
Okay.
For iOS. Okay. Fair enough.
Just wanted to make sure you knew about it.
Yeah, but they can be kind of bad too. I mean, they're not good and they're not bad, but it's a middle it's a middle of the road approach that needs to be taken with this. So,
yeah. But do you think that Google should have been more discreet about it?
Well, yeah, they definitely should have honored the 90-day thing. I will give them that. They definitely should have done that. It'd be interesting to know what Google's full reasoning for this was, but nonetheless, it is worrying about this. Basically, Scott Helm, who is an independent security researcher in the UK, he said that this 7-day period was actually normal because you always want to disclose earlier because it informs people that they need to go patch right away. And people are far more likely to update now rather than next week or next month. And this kind of puts it back to Epic Games saying that, oh, this might actually be a problem with the Epic Games CEO for not understanding the full magnitude of the security breach. So...
I tend to agree with that. And if it was on Google Play, right, they wouldn't even have this problem.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have this problem. So, but
greed,
you know,
man.
Yeah,
greed.
Yeah. And you know what we're also seeing with this is we're also seeing the benefits and downsides of Android, and the benefits and downsides of iOS. So, it's all right here, and this is a perfect example of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I still keep my Android.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Next piece of tech news, Xbox All Access. Tannis, you said this one. This one is this one's a little bit interesting because
it's kind of cool.
Microsoft is offering a package where you can get an Xbox One console, Xbox Live Gold, and Xbox Game Pass, and this will give you access to over 100 games for one low monthly price, they say. And you will get access to a new Xbox One S or Xbox One X, meaning if you so desire, you could have a 4K Xbox for $21.99 a month. And there's 0% interest on this, and you own the console outright, and you'll pay for 24 months.
Yeah. Is that, like, I haven't had a console in a long time. I probably haven't had a console since PS3. I might actually do this and you get all the the pass you
get Xbox Game Pass.
Anything that is an exclusive you get
like
brand new day
so
release.
Forza for
VIP
example
stuff.
yes and that game looks I wish I could drive
at 4K at 4K $22 a month.
Now the only kind of bad thing is you have to go to a brick and mortar Microsoft store to do this, and they're not everywhere.
Right.
We
have one
really
here.
Kind of thing to catch. So.
You guys have one in the middle of Indiana?
I don't know where. No, I doubt it. I don't know where I'd have to travel, but yeah. But what a deal. Like that's a good deal.
That's half
a
Netflix, or that's two times the price of Netflix. So if you're not a Netflix user, you just basically look at it with that lens.
Well, and think about it. I mean that's an Xbox X. Like that's the biggest console out. That's the most powerful console out right now.
4K 60 FPS.
Yeah, and
that's the cheapest 4K gaming platform.
Well, and it basically doubles as your whole home entertainment kind of hub.
Yeah.
You know,
like the only downside of this, and people don't think about this, is you have the 4K TV, but if you use anything like a soundbar or a receiver, you also need to update those to be able to pass the 4K signal.
Oh no, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, so there's that. So there's that as well. Because let's be real here, speakers on today's TVs are just utterly atrocious.
Well, that's true.
But you have to get hardware that's specialized nowadays. That one set of speakers, one projector, and everything that's specialized. And know it's what it's doing of the purest quality.
So, I'm thinking about it, and maybe get that. And
Before they were competitive, the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X, but they were before they were competitive, and you would make the decision based on what games you wanted to play. You're still going to make that decision, but if you don't care about the games that are exclusive to the PS4, this is the one to get. It's easy to own.
Yeah.
It comes with gold. It comes with Game Pass.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you're the kind of gamer that wants to take a taste of every cake that's in the whole store, this is for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's Xbox All Access. You do need to go to a Microsoft store to be able to sign up for that. All right. And you'll recall that earlier this year in January and February, we talked about a lot about the Meltdown Inspector vulnerabilities in Intel CPUs, right? And normally every time we brought this up, it's been bad news. Well, folks, we have good news on this front now for once on this. Intel recently this week announced its new Whiskey Lake launch, which is its new family of processors. And these are the first chips that are available that will feature in-silicon fixes for the Meltdown and Foreshadow vulnerabilities that we were talking about earlier this year. And Intel representatives confirmed that this was indeed the case when people were asked about it. And these current mitigations that people have been using in software were delivered by microcode patches and could potentially reduce performance by up to 10% on certain systems when they were being used. So it's definitely something that people want to pay attention to. So now, pretty much going forward with this, looking at Whiskey Lake, variant 3 of Meltdown, which was the more insidious version of it that could have been exploited, is now going to be fixed in silicon, and following their next batch of CPU architecture that will be known as Cascade Lake, that will fix the issues for the Spectre bug. So by this time next year, or maybe 18 months from now, we will have fixes for both Meltdown and Spectre in the CPUs that are coming online. And you'll recall that when we first talked about this, we said that it wouldn't be until late 2019 or early 2020 that both of them would be fixed. Well, we got a fix for half of it now, and the other fix will come next year or early in 2020. And, you know, just a quick rundown of what this was. Basically, when you're writing a computer program, you can have your code do one thing. So if name is Shane, do something. If name is Tycho, do something else, and so on and so forth. Or a more critical version would be is that if you enter your password successfully, grant access to the system, otherwise don't. And what that effectively did was with this vulnerability, the vulnerability basically said that it's going to use this new feature of these high-powered Intel CPUs that we have and preemptively execute both sides of that decision statement, that if statement. And basically what these vulnerabilities did is look at the false side that wasn't supposed to be traversed and bring that data forward to the attacker. So that's what these vulnerabilities did. They were very, very low level, and that's why they needed to be fixed on CPU. And this is something that chips have been doing for a long time, and it's just been found. Granted, we're all patched for it now, and we're all feeling that CPU hit, depending on what you're doing. But going forward, these vulnerabilities will be fixed. And if you want to know more about what Meltdown and Spectre did, then just go back to the episodes where that was the case. Just search for Spectre on update.rsbnb.com. So, you know, as much as a good thing as speculative execution is, it also did have the potential to very much hurt the users of chips. So
Shane, with the new processors, are they going to be different sockets, or will they still work for what a lot of us already have? Where do you have to build the whole new thing?
Yeah, you're going to need a whole new thing. That's what Intel does these days.
Oh, I didn't. That doesn't seem very funny.
No, it's not.
But if we look at those 10% of performance loss, well, security comes first. And that's something that I think people don't take seriously until they they're caught, they got their password hacked or anything else, that security must come first, even before performance. And when you're gaming, you are, of course, looking for performance, but you are always playing on an account, your account, and that account needs to be secure. Just like we are all playing RuneScape, and that account is a part of our lives. So I'm very happy to hear this. I'm very happy that we were wrong, that this is out already now in 2018. But yeah, I don't mind those 10%. Well, at least until RuneScape crashes, because it can't handle the graphics fast enough. But
RuneScape will never crash. You can run it on a toaster.
Really? Wow. All right.
But those 10% will probably be fixed by all other hardware. I mean, technology gets better and better.
Well, I think it's about time we move on to other things. And I'll just say that our current skill of the month is progressing along. It'll be over by the time you guys hear this. I think it's safe to say that Sorensen has this in the bag with 63.7 million construction XP gained.
Yeah, he earned that one.
Yeah. But
we know he suffered a little bit for that.
But there's a big but here. The September skill of the month has been announced, and it is a farming skill of the month.
The September skill of the month?
Is farming.
Oh, is Shane going to make a comeback?
The last farming skill of the month we had was in August 2014.
Is that the one that you lost to Reed?
No, that was before that. I didn't compete in the one in 2014. I don't know. I'm still undecided if I'm going to enter this.
Shane, you have to enter.
Shane.
How am I supposed to do double XP weekend and the farming skill of the month?
Just gets your...
It planned.
Yeah, just start later. Whatever.
Just do it.
It's farming runs. I mean, it takes like no time at all. You're supposed to be the master farmer.
True. And we don't know what the player on farm will bring to us for this.
You need to represent, Shane. You need to represent.
Okay.
So next week, I want you to see everything in the player on farm maxed. It will get you at the top of this competition, and it will get you on top in terms of information about this update next week. Two birds with one stone.
Yeah, I guess when you put it that way, that makes sense.
Nobody can compete with you.
And you'll get your money back.
True.
You spend over the weekend. So, yeah, no excuses.
All right, let's move on to the achievements. What do you got for us, Tanis?
Okay, we got a lot of achievements this week.
Not as many as next week.
Yeah. Fair enough. But let's start with Badger. Got 99 prayer on August 29th. Badger also got 99 defense on August 29th. Cena ATN with 99 Constitution on August 28th. Badger again with 99 Fire Making on August 28th.
He's on fire.
And he is on fire. That's right.
He's hot. And
the beginning, the end, the Omega got 200M Constitution on August 27th.
Very nice. What's next, Tycho?
Oh, Badger wasn't finished there. He continued with 99 strength on August 27th. And Ely came here with 99 rune crafting. Congratulations. Omega didn't stop at Constitution, but also got 120 strength, also on 27th. And then we have Diocles with 99 thieving on 26th of August. Congratulations, you just earned yourself a trip to Port Sarim Jail.
All right, and rounding this off, we had Badger again with 99 attack on the 25th, Diocles with 99 Dungeoneering continuing on the 12th, Verergian Bard with 99 Crafting also on the 25th, Badger with 99 Constitution on the 24th, and Row of Snow rounding this off with 99 Dungeoneering also on the 24th. So, nicely done, everyone, and... Next week, we're going to have a big, big list. A big
list. Oh, big one. Are we going to make that a topic for another day, maybe? The whole list in itself? Or maybe we should put it out.
We may have to automate that. You know, we'll get I'll let you use a screen reader for just all of the names.
We'll just put it to Google Translate and let the voice do the job. But congratulations on those achievements this week.
All right, Tannis, what do you got for our pick of the week?
Pick of the week this week is a little game called Wreckfest. So it's a kind of a demolition derby slash racing game. So you race and you try to, you know, take other cars out as you do this. There's all kinds of different arenas, different tracks, different things like that. You also can do like demolition derbies. Like you start off doing a demolition derby on a lawnmower, and I laughed so hard, like I just died laughing the whole time. And it's probably the most I've laughed at playing a game in a really long time. But it's just I got it on sale, and I do recommend, you know, if you can get it on sale, that's the time to grab it. But it's a fun little racing game, and there's a lot to do. Multiplayer is great. It's actually pretty fun. It's the only racing game that a blind person can play, and no one actually notices. kind of good for me.
Get out of the way, maggot.
What platform do you play it on?
I play PC.
Okay. All right. I assume it's available on the others as well.
I would think so. I mean, I would think so. I don't know.
Mm. All right.
So you don't need a driver's license to drive, right?
No, definitely
I think
not.
It would be discouraged.
Yeah. a lot of these tracks are on dirt. It's so fun because, like, there's so many different views. You can take this view of being, like, in the car, and you just feel the car, like, when you drift, you just feel the car, like, sliding, and then you can, like, it's almost like you feel it when it catches traction again, and it's cool. It's fun.
Do you think the game is trying to be funny, or is it trying to get serious but fails at it that makes it comical?
You know, I just think it's just funny when you run full speed into somebody on a lawnmower and watch them go flying through the air. It's just funny. I don't know. Like, it doesn't take itself too seriously. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it,
that's good. You need that sometimes. You need that sometimes. Yeah. So. All right. What have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tycho. What have you been up to on RS this week?
Oh, so in RS, well, I've been questing a lot. I've been going to my quest account and be questing. And a lot of these questing updates, for example, the lamps and the cutscenes have been fixed. I can really see the difference here. And I'm very happy that they made them. Now they are trying to make RuneScape a more complete experience, both for free-to-play and pay-to-play. And then I've been preparing for XP weekend. I've been getting Jark hides from Jatiso for some time now, but not at the amount that Tannis have, and that makes me feel, maybe I should panic buy. But the most activity I've done this week comes from Elite Dungeon 2. I simply love it. It's just, as you said, Shane, it's a direct hit, and I have a grudge with it. It won't give me the very last lore book. And for those of you who know, I have the Master Quest Cape in game, but guess what? I don't have it. Because I have been doing the first ancestral dragon for like 40 times.
Wow.
And it refuses to. And I say
40 And Astolarn times. Is the most annoying of the bunch.
Yeah, maybe, but I say around 40 times, and it normally has a 10% drop rate. Plus, on top of that, I added my Hazelmere Signet Ring. Plus, I added that fancy new perk they gave the Dungeoneering Master Cape of increased lore drop chance. But guess what?
It's not all working together.
It's not working together.
Wow.
This is the most frustrating part of my RuneScape career ever since Nomad's Requiem came into play back in, I don't know, 07, and was my very last quest before my first quest cape. And I nearly fainted when I was about to beat him.
All right. How about you, Tanis? How about you this week?
Just it's been nonstop competition. So started in 50th place. We're up to third.
Holy
started
cow.
From the bottom. Now
holy
I'm here.
Cow!
Nice.
So yeah, that has been it. Unfortunately, I'm almost out of invention XP though. So when that runs out, it won't be as fun.
But, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanna play Johnny B. Good. Go, Tanis, go, go, go. Tanis, go, go.
Well, as for me this week, you know, I've just been doing herb farming, getting stuff ready for double XP weekend, potions, sorting through my bank. I actually did a bit of a bank cleanup a little bit, disassembled some things and whatnot. But aside from that, nothing out of the ordinary, just some divination gathering along the way. I don't think we can forget that. That's an amazing piece of content, just gathering those divine charges with that. Also, I really like my plank maker.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay.
interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens on double XP weekend. So my double XP weekend plans have changed on this podcast, which should be interesting. But I'll just say that this has been RSPNB Update. And if you want to join us over this double XP weekend, just hop on to Friends Chat Bits Bytes in-game and we'll see you all there. And you know, check out the Patreon page at patreon.com/RSPNB. And if you want full show notes and whatnot, you can find that at update.rsbnb.com. So with that being said, we'll see you next week for the player-owned farm. Take care, everyone.
Turn on. See ya.
See you there.